Well, I don't want to make a habit of this, but I think the last time I spoke, I took up something that David said, and I'm going to do the same again. I don't want to get into the habit of that, but something that David said, I think it was 3 weeks ago. He was speaking on the benefits coming to us from Christ's death, Christ's work. And the first one he mentioned, you see, I'm listening, you see, I was listening, there you are. The first thing he mentioned, I think, I'm very sure it was liberty.
Yes, I remember.
Yes, you do. I'm not going to mention you in a minute, Eunice, too. And I was really pleased about that, because so often that seems to be a missing note. I think it's a very important issue, and I think if you read the New Testament, you'll see liberty or freedom, those kinds of words, coming again and again. Just take one example. Jesus says, the Son shall make you free, free indeed, and so on. Remember, he talks to the Jews and said, you were slaves, and so on, slaves of sin. And Christ's slavery to Christ is perfect freedom, and all these kind of things. So I was very pleased that David mentioned that. Well, I didn't mention it. That was the first major point. But then Eunice raised the question, there is a risk here. And she raised the issue of antinomianism. She said about the antinomians. Well, they were powerful in the 1600s. And some of them were, antinomians. They were actually lawless completely. And they would argue that more sin, more grace. And the circles I've moved in the past 60 years, I've been so conscious of that, that I think they've made the mistake of underemphasizing the liberty. Out of fear of being thought antinomian or straying into that, they've held back on the freeness of the gospel. I don't want to just bandy names, but I'm of the same opinion as Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he said this, that unless a man in his preaching can be accused of antinomianism, he really isn't preaching the gospel as freely as he should be. And he argued that from Romans, where Paul was accused of sinning, that grace may abound. So there is such a freeness about the gospel, because it's a narrow line to tread. But my own view is, and I've been working in this area now for some time, books and writing and conferences, the liberty that we have in Christ, freedom. Christ has set us free, freedom from sin. That doesn't mean to say we're sinless, but in the sight of God we are perfect. Freedom from death. We are going to die, but we live everlastingly. Freedom from law, Paul says so very clearly in Romans and Galatians and Hebrews there and all the rest of these passages. So I was interested when you just mentioned about antinomianism. I've been called an antinomian myself, but actually, if you look at it in the right sense, I think it is a badge of honor, because there is a freeness about the gospel. I won't develop it now. But the text I have in mind is this, is Galatians 5, verse 1. Now, you could choose a score of texts, but this text, I think, is one of the major ones. Paul says this to the Galatians, and of course, the whole letter to the Galatians is taken up with this very theme. But Galatians 5, verse 1, of course, the chapter division is very bad here. I mean, these are just added afterwards. If you look at the previous chapter, Paul's been speaking about the illustration of the two sons of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael, one by the slave woman, one by the free woman, one out of promise, one in a legal sense. And he says in verse 31 of the previous chapter, so brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman. And he goes straight on, and it's this, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, it doesn't come over in the English. The Greek is, I understand, quite unusual Greek. It's And I think the modern editor would tell Paul, you know, he must tighten this up a little bit and brush this up a bit. But the Holy Spirit didn't see fit to do that. The emphasis is very heavy on freedom here. And Paul goes on, therefore, keep standing firm, stand in this freedom, and do not be subject again. Do not allow yourself to be bound again by a yoke of slavery. I haven't got time this afternoon. We haven't got time to go into all this. But there's a word play here. You remember Peter in Acts chapter 15 makes the point when they're talking in Jerusalem, and he says, our fathers were under the law, he says, and that was a yoke that we couldn't stand. He talks about the word yoke, that it was a burden, a bondage to us. Christ has a yoke too, but you remember what he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I'm just putting these thoughts to you. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Sin, law, death. And I think there's too little, well, I'll speak for myself. I want to sense more this freedom I have in Christ. It doesn't mean I'm lawless, I'm under law to Christ, but his service is perfect freedom. Paul is very heavy here on this, and it's a very powerful point. So I was glad David mentioned, well, more than mentioned it. I think it should be sounded abroad pretty loud. That's all I wanted to say this afternoon.
Interesting, the Baxter quotation, isn't it? In essentials, unity. Yeah. In non-essentials, liberty. Yeah. In all things, charity.
Charity, oh yes, yes. Mm. Mm.